You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you for listening to the Performance Anxiety Podcast, the podcast where it's okay to be a little bit late. I'm joined by Anna Arbeles and eventually Sapphire Jewel of the band Gypsum. Anna and I get the ball rolling, and then we start over once Sapphire joins us. Gypsum is an interesting band with a great sound. And the core of the band met in music school at USC. The entire project started off as an informal jam session. The core of the band is made up of the musicians that would consistently show up to these sessions, Sapphire, Anna, and drummer Jesse Reed. They came up with the name while exploring the Natural History Museum near campus, and although the band has been around since 2016, they've just recently released their debut album. Anna has been busy crafting sound for other bands, and Sapphire has been playing guitar for Cuffed Up and Illuminati Hotties. You'd think that waiting so long to record and release their debut, they'd be tempted to throw everything in the kitchen sink onto the album. But you'd be wrong. The album is a close representation of their live sound, showing tremendous restraint in the studio. Their self-titled album has just come out on vinyl, so pick that up, and they'll even send you a CD if you ask real nice. Give them a follow on Instagram at @gypsum_ or on Facebook. Give us a follow at Performance Annex on social media, and you can help us out by checking out ko-fi.com/performanceanxiety. Or performanceannex.threadless.com. And don't forget to check out the other great podcasts on the Pantheon Podcast Network. So let's get started with Anna and eventually Sapphire of Gypsum on Performance Anxiety.
What if we tried alternating words, Sapphire?
Oh my, well, we'd have to write down a script.
No. I think we should just try.
All right. Honestly, I'm down. Let's do it.
Okay, I'm gonna start.
Okay.
Hey guys.
I'm Sapphire.
And I'm Anna.
We're from Gypsum.
And you're listening to
Performance Anxiety Podcast.
The podcast where we get to talk
about our new vinyl record.
But it's not just vinyl.
Well, I know, but it's on vinyl, which is sick.
You can't just make a vinyl record.
Okay. Well, our new album.
Streaming also digitally.
Wherever you get your streams.
The end.
So is it just
you? Whereabouts in Virginia? No, Sapphire should be joining us. I'll bother her in a minute or two if okay. She doesn't pop on.
Cool. But, yeah, I'm in Winchester, so I'm about 75 miles due west of D.C.
Oh, cool. Oh, I'm actually wearing my 930 Club.
Oh, nice.
T-shirt today.
Nice. I will be there next week. I'll be shooting.
That's so good.
Yeah, I'll be shooting Mother.
Oh, cool. So, I love that venue. It's always so nice to go there.
Oh, it's awesome. Some of the best concerts I've ever seen have been there.
Yeah, they know what they're doing there for sure.
Oh, yeah. Especially when you get a good LD and sound person, then...
Absolutely.
It's one of the best clubs out there, at least in our area.
Someone was telling me, too, that, like, it's, like, the 930 club people, and there's, like, a promoter in, like, Minneapolis that does, like, First Ave.
Okay.
They're, like, some of the only... They're, like... two of the like handful of truly independent promoters the country, because everything just got bought up by like Live Nation and AEG and those places. So it's definitely a truly, you know, special thing to still have a spot like 930 doing its thing.
Yeah, it's we've got a couple really cool clubs out there. There's 930, there's Black Cat, DC9.
It's like
there's a handful of others that are just really, really cool, small little places to play. So, and I was a photographer for about 15 years or so. And so I've kind of done it the whole time, but I've kind of gotten back into doing like live music photos. And it's depending on the venue, 930 is one of the best to shoot at because they've got a little pit for the photographers. So there's like, there's like a 6-foot gap between the stage and a barricade for the audience.
You can for sure
walk in and out, but you go to like the Black Cat, you got to stake out a spot because once you move, you're right up against the stage and that's it. If it's a band with a following, forget it. You're not going anywhere.
Cool. So, well, I'm glad we connected on this. Let me send Sapphire a text really quickly.
Sure.
I'm wondering if maybe she's like caught up with something. If not, let's just get started.
Yeah.
There's no need to
Needs
Sapphire? She said she's running a little late. I know, seriously. Well, okay. Let me hold on. She said she's running. Okay.
Yeah, we can get started and she can hop in whenever she's ready. But I've been listening to the album and oh my gosh, it's blown me away. It is so good.
Oh, I'm so glad that it had that effect on you.
It was amazing.
Specifically.
Yeah. Well, I listened to it for the first time. My wife and I were driving and that was the first time I heard it. And so she heard it the first time and we both kind of like looked at each other. Mm-hmm. This is freaking awesome.
Well, thank you for the kind words. I'm glad you enjoyed the experience.
Oh, of course. It was, if you can win me over and my wife, that's not easy. We converge on some music, not everything.
Right on. We love it when the Venn diagram becomes a circle.
Well, I've got a lot of questions for both of you. So, well, why don't we get started with your background since we're waiting for Sapphire and we can touch on her background once she hops on. I like to get to know how you got into music, how you got where you are now.
Okay.
Was music big in your household? Was there a lot of creativity going on in the household? What was your first influence? What was your first musical experience? Think first bit of music that really caught you? And oh, looks like Sapphire's coming in here.
Oh, good.
Wait, are you waiting for me?
Hey.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah, we were waiting for you.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, sorry about that. I was teaching a guitar lesson and
no problem.
We spent way too much time talking about music theory before giving him a song. So how's it going?
No problem. Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just ready for the weekend. My weekend starts tomorrow. So
oh man.
That was pretty funny.
All right. Well, thank you guys for hopping on and doing the podcast. This is wonderful. I was just telling Anna that how impressed and blown away I was by the album. It was...
Oh, thank you.
I didn't know what to expect because I didn't read anything about it. I just kind of wanted to go into it before I did any research on you guys. And whoa, I loved it. I listened to it the other day for the first time with my wife. We were driving somewhere and I put it on and we both just kind of looked at each other like, damn, this is good. And it's not easy to get our tastes to overlap sometimes. So you guys managed to be, like Anna said, you guys managed to be the middle of the Venn diagram.
Yeah. Want that broad audience.
Yeah.
Um.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. These are some weird times, and it would have been a lot weirder for my family if we hadn't gotten some therapy. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy works. But what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help. Or maybe you're feeling insecure about relationships or at work, not dealing well with stress. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Try that in person. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. And a special offer to Performance Anxiety listeners, you can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy at betterhelp.com/performanceanxiety. That's betterhelp.com/performanceanxiety. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. So what I like to do is to find out a little bit about your backgrounds, how you guys got to where you are now. And so I wanted to find out, I was asking Aunt Anna a little bit. Sorry, I'm going to say Anna every once in a while, so I apologize because I've just seen it in print.
It's all good. I appreciate you even attempting to correct yourself.
All right. So I'm just going to throw that out there. I will try to correct myself. So feel free to call me out on it. That's fine with me. But how did you get into music in the first place? Was there a lot of music growing up in the house? Was there a certain song or artist that really captured your attention that made you think, this is something I can do?
Yeah.
Anna, you go first.
Yeah. Well, my short answer is no. Like, neither. I mean, my dad kind of can play the piano, but he can really only play like the first two bars of Taking It to the Streets by the Doobie Brothers, and that's it. And I know, I hope that, I hope you can hear it in your head.
I am, right? It's not going to get out either.
It's not. And my mom like had a guitar and would play us little nursery rhymes, but I didn't come from a particularly musical background. It's just kind of something that I was personally interested in and kind of pursued on my own. Of course, my folks were like always really supportive of me. And, you know, I think we're glad that I probably had some sort of activity to do that was self-motivated. And so they were generous and supportive and, you know, helping me get guitar lessons and have always been generally supportive with that. And so that's kind of my musical background. And even growing up, like, you know, I played in the church choir for a little bit. And what else? My like high school had, I went to a smaller high school, so there wasn't like a traditional jazz band or anything. It was just kind of like a really weird hodgepodge ensemble that had like at one point like two harps, a saxophone, and then like a bunch of piano players like distributed amongst various mallet instruments and like the violin player attempting to play drums. It was like very interesting. Yeah. But yeah, and I ended up going to music school, and that kind of, you know, takes me more to a transition between like perhaps a musical upbringing to more of a musical maturation point. But yeah, that's probably the takes care of the like early years of my musical journey there.
Anna, the early years. Sapphire, what about you? How did you get into music?
Yeah, I could mention like my immediate family, no one played music. My mom had a piano, but she didn't really know how to play it. She just kind of always wanted to learn. And then I don't know what happened. Like she retired fairly young and decided to start picking up hobbies and started playing mandolin and got my brother to pick up like a fiddle. She was really into like country and folk music. And
So they kind of started doing that, but neither of them really took it that seriously. But I think it was more like she realized this was a good bonding time for her kids. So I had like, I don't remember why. I think my best friend, who's still my best friend, she, her name is ironically Anna. But she asked me if I wanted to like learn how to play guitar with her and take lessons. So we took lessons together, which is a terrible idea. I never recommend that for anyone. But we did, and we were like in sixth grade or something. We were pretty young. And she had like no talent for it. She had like, just couldn't do it. She's really talented in other ways, but, yeah, for some reason, guitar playing was not it, but I decided to kind of keep going with it. And I don't think I kept up with that teacher, but I kept just noodling around on the guitar. And I found that I prefer just making up parts. I don't really like covers. I don't like learning other stuff unless I think it's a really cool thing that I want to learn. That doesn't happen that often. So I've never liked learning covers, and I would always just kind of write on my own and in my bedroom. And I think my parents, similar to Anna, like they encouraged it because it was like something I could do that was like a healthy outlet and a healthy thing to do. And it also just like kept me out of trouble. Like my friends in high school started to, you know, get into naughty stuff. And, but I would stay home alone in my bedroom, like playing guitar. But then in, I think it was like late middle school, my mom kind of encouraged me to take guitar lessons from this guy who was teaching across the hall with her lessons. And, I said no for a really long time, but then eventually I changed my mind and decided to give it a try. And he was a really fantastic teacher. I should probably like go thank him for all that he taught me. I haven't kept up with him, but, thanks Colin. But he, yeah, he did a really good job. And like, he was just a really smart teacher and like had studied music, studied guitar, and, encouraged me to be better and taught me so much. And, so yeah, that's when I started to get serious about it. And I think he asked me in late high school, like, what did I want to do for a career? Because as everyone does, you know, when you're like a sophomore, junior, and then senior year, you got to figure it out. Well, I hadn't thought about it yet. And he was like, well, you could pursue music. And I was like, what?
you can do that?
So I did. But yeah, I too didn't really have music in the household. I have some cousins and aunts and uncles that are professional musicians, but nothing. Okay. They're all in like super classical world, like classical world in New York, and like nothing along the lines of what I do. We have, honestly, it's kind of, there are some similarities, but more differences than similarities, I would say.
Okay.
So yeah, I guess it's in my blood, but it's not in my immediate family. Yeah. And I was not exposed that way.
Where did you guys all meet?
We met at school. Yeah.
Okay. College. Yeah.
So where did you guys go to college?
Sorry, Sapphire. We went to USC. We went to USC. We all went to USC. We were all in their music school, and we were all kind of in different programs, but we all met kind of, you know, parties, mutual friends, what have you, you know.
What were you guys studying? So Anna, we'll start with you. What were you studying?
I was actually a guitar performance major for a little bit. Then I... yeah. And then I kind of, rearranged it to, a more general music degree because I wanted to take some recording classes and get hip to things like Pro Tools. And that was just kind of going to be the thing that allowed me to do that. So yeah, it's been great.
Sapphire, what about you? What were you studying?
Yeah. We actually both started with the same major. I was also in guitar performance. It was called studio/jazz guitar. I think that program is now dissolved because it wasn't, USC is rad. It's such a, like, I get embarrassed to admit it that we like went there because it's such a like no-no to have studied music. But there's like the pop program, which is really cool. There's the jazz program, which is really intense. There's like a classical program who doesn't talk to anyone unless you're classical. And then there's studio guitar, and we were like the black sheep of music school. And then there's also like the industry majors and like the sound, like perform, like production majors. But yeah, as far as performance majors go, we were kind of like ignored a lot because we were like geeky guitar players, and we like kind of floated between worlds. But I really enjoyed it, and like, I mean, I had a really rough time of it too, but I'm grateful for the experience. And I also like
found that I really wanted to learn about production and like took mixing and mastering classes. Anna and I were in a lot of those same classes together, and like engineering. And honestly, like a lot of them I audited. Like people don't think that to do that, but like I loved auditing classes, just taking them for free and like not getting a grade, but you know, you just show up to class and you learn stuff. So yeah, that was really cool. I had some really great teachers that, you know, let me into their classes to teach me that stuff.
How did you guys all start playing together?
I think it started with you and Anna, right? And, or was it Rosie and Jesse?
I don't even remember. I think it might have been me, Rosie, and Jesse just kind of having a jam. And we kind of had like a couple people come in over time. And then you started showing up. And then we were the four people who kept showing up. And then kind of just went from there. So it happened organically, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. It wasn't, I think Liv Slingerland was the other one. I don't know if you know Liv's music, but they're rad. And they also, you know, play music. Okay. I say they because I'm not sure. But yeah, they were at the jam too. And we just, I think they kept missing it. And I kept showing up. So then it kind of like solidified after a while. But
it could have been Liv. I could have been Liv.
How did you pick the name Gypsum?
Well, on that fateful night that we decided to be a band, we went to the Natural History Museum, or Museum of Natural History, in LA, and it's across the street from our college campus. And we looked at the rock exhibit. Anna, would you like to explain the rest?
Yeah, I think we could like get into the museum for free with our student IDs, and they have this giant rock hall, and we just kind of like ran around there like hooligans saying the rock names until like we found one that worked, and that's kind of how it happened.
Pretty simple.
Yeah, well, there was like the whole deliberation of like what type of band name should we have, and there were some regrettable names that will remain in history.
Yeah, you won't give me one?
No. Nice try though.
Never.
I gotta try. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
I know.
At what point did it go from being just a jam session to you guys playing out as a band?
I think, you know, once you start like collecting original material, like that's kind of, at least for me, the point at which it starts to become a band, when there is kind of a synthesis that happens, you know, something that wasn't there before. Yeah. And in the early days, like the writing process was a bit more like someone would bring in, like Sapphire brought in some pretty fleshed out songs, and then we kind of, you know, augmented the parts to it. And okay. So, and then we all started bringing in little riffs, little whatever's, lyrics, ideas, or we would just jam for like, you know, sometimes just we would just start and then we would look down and like 20 minutes later we were still playing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's kind of how a lot of our songs started, and we would just get into it and start playing. And so it was very much like kind of an organic synthesis process.
How long ago was this?
This must have been in like, 2016, 2015.
Wow. Okay.
We kind of let these songs marinate for a long time.
Yeah. So my understanding, and you guys, please correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys are playing out, playing shows, and you kind of started to get attention and you got label offers, but you actually ended up turning them down.
Yeah.
We got one label offer.
But there was interest in us for stuff. We didn't approach anybody, but I think, you know, all of those, we were in a place where I think we could have like really stepped on the gas. But I think we decided not to for, you know, our own reasons. And I think it kind of gave us some time to like mature in various ways. And I think that, you know, served us in the record making process, just because it is intense. And yeah. I think we just wanted to always make the best decisions like for the music. And I think that just kind of, we just needed time for that to happen.
So between that time and the debut album, which just came out in October, right? That everything was released. Mm-hmm. Quite a few years. And I know, Sapphire, you co-founded Cuffed Up and you played with Illuminati Hotties.
In every life there is a bell. One rounded curve.
was Gypsum still active while you were doing those other bands?
Yes, and it is so hard to juggle the three. October, everyone released music. Illuminati Hotties put out their album. Cuffed Up released an EP, and Gypsum released our album. And we all had like shows to do. And oh my God, it's like one of the craziest months I've ever had. It was really fun.
Yeah, we all made it work, you know? Calendaring is a necessary evil.
So, Anna, what were you doing in between getting together, playing shows, and then the debut? Were you in the studio? Were you doing more on the technical side?
Yeah, so actually tour front of house is my day job, so okay. That's why I'm so familiar with those venues in D.C., because I've been there. That's how you get my exclusive, yet somewhat... ubiquitous 930 Club t-shirt that everyone has. Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, I started touring too, so I would just be like gone half the year doing that. And so again, calendaring just becomes difficult, and yeah, like everyone else in the band like has other bands, has other jobs. And so it's kind of like when we were in college, we had so much time to do it, and we really like incubated the music in a way that was really beautiful. You know, I honestly think we just had to go through kind of like, you know, learning how to figure out how to like juggle all this stuff while like, you know, learning how to make a living, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So that's kind of what happened there.
What made you guys decide to finally do the debut album for Gypsum? Finally record what you've been working on?
I think we've been approached by the right label. We've been talking about it, and you know, the factor of money was really tight. That was kind of a difficult subject, because we, you know, we really felt strongly that these songs needed to be properly recorded. We didn't want to go like a rough DIY route, because I just didn't think that these songs would sound good that way.
That's a good point.
We spent so much time crafting parts. And like, if you listen to the rhythm section, Jesse and the bass part that Rosie wrote, those parts are so tight and intricate, and they were like hours in our rehearsals where Anna and I would just be like sitting there silently while they would figure out some like insanely micro thing that makes it really cool. So we just felt like we wanted it to be recorded properly. And then Sonic Ritual hit up Jesse Todrick, who owns the label, hit up Jesse and wanted to make our record. And we felt like the time was right. You know, we wanted to finally have this album, and he could kind of offer that opportunity. So we took it.
And you self-produced it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't really. We talked about Sharon Van Etten was kind of in the talks for a little while. Oh, nice. She wanted to do it, but we were all like, the timing wasn't right. She was just so busy. I mean, she's like making her record.
Again,
like,
calendaring a bit.
Yeah, calendaring. And like, she also acts, and like their schedule was just not going to line up with ours. So, but we had also like intended to self-produce it anyway. It was like a fun thing that Sharon Bennett wanted to, but you know, before that we had always thought that we'd self-produce it. So when that kind of didn't work out timing wise, we were like, well, let's just self-produce it. And honestly, I think I'm really proud of what we did.
It sounds incredible.
We have enough opinions anyway.
Well, it definitely does not sound like a DIY affair. It sounds like it was professionally produced. I was like I've said several times already, I was really blown away by it. The opening Follow Me to Lungs, which I'm going to tell you right now, Lungs is my favorite track on the album. That song just kick some freaking ass.
Probably my favorite to play.
A little bit of a dirty tone on that one section, which you don't tend to do a lot of. You don't like dry tones. You don't do a lot of distortion.
Didn't learn how to do that until I started playing with Cuffed Up and Illuminati Hotties. Distortion did not really, I was honestly just afraid of it.
Oh, really?
I was afraid to do it badly, so I just didn't really do it in gypsum, but love it now. But yeah. Mark Rains, he engineered it and he did such a brilliant job. We went to his studio in Echo Park and like, he was such a pleasure to work with. We just like felt like it became our home for a little while.
That's awesome.
It was a really nice experience recording.
The trio of the first three songs, Follow Me to Lungs to Gull Lake, just absolutely floored me. It was, those songs are my three favorite on the album, but I kind of heard that there's a little story behind Gull Lake. Somebody fell into the lake.
Yeah, we went to Rosie's cabin in Northern California, and it was frozen over. There was like small lake that was frozen over, and we thought it would be fun to walk on it. But none of us come from like climates where you can walk on lakes commonly, and so we did it stupidly, and one of us fell in. Fortunately, we weren't that far out. I think they only fell like waist deep. But it was really dumb, but it was really funny too. Yeah. So
I'm not going to find out who that one was either.
Yeah. Some of the lyrics are about that, talking about like how the surface is white and the water's black. Like it's very dark under ice. And that's kind of talks about that.
And the ice kind of formed these like intricate patterns, tendrily spirally kind of patterns. Okay. And it kind of looks like the like axons and dendrites and of like if you look at a nerve cell, that's kind of what it looked like. So there's a lot of, you know, metaphor using that.
I don't get a whole lot of lyrics about axons and dendrites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why not?
Not a common theme. So another one of my favorites is Margaret. That song is so, it's so simple, but it's so beautiful. Was it based on a poem or inspired by a poem?
Yeah, that one was like, that one was probably at its core kind of a me creation. It's kind of like, how would I describe it? Someone sent me a poem, and sometimes in poetry they do this thing like where you kind of, I think you like write in the style of someone after the original author. Okay. And I didn't like write in the style of, but I was like, well, what if I were to like have a conversation with like another piece of writing? And I was reading Joan Didion's Slouching Toward Bethlehem, and she has an essay called Notes from a Native Daughter in there. And I was reading that essay, and it's, you know, she's somewhat, I don't know, her writing to me is, I feel like I can't ever get to the bottom of it, but that's kind of what compels me to it. And so I was reading that and thinking about that essay. And in that essay, there's a poem. What's it called? I don't know. But basically, I'm going to look it up because I'm going to die if I don't. I can't really type right now, though. I'm going to, when Sapphire answers the next question, I'm going to pull up this information. I should know off the top of my head. But there's a poem in it. And so like half the song is like basically like setting that poem to music. Like the last verse is kind of that. And like the first two verses are kind of like me having a conversation with myself about like the topic of the essay and stuff. So okay. I had like a fun time kind of like asking these questions of myself. And you're right, it is like a pretty simple chord progression, but I enjoy it.
Margaret, did I say the wrong name when you called? Holding roses at the door, a mirror looking into a mirror. Margaret, like things of man, holding out a hand to greet you, holding negatives in the palms of both of my hands.
It's Nice to Play. And that was, a lot of that song is kind of like a studio creation, which was like fun to do. A lot of the songs that we wrote early in the band have like a lot of sort of musical technique and prowess, and like a lot of just kind of like what I call heavy lifting guitar stuff and like music stuff. And that was kind of how we were pushing the envelope at that time. But Margaret was probably one of the later songs that we wrote. And after, during that time, like I had learned how to use Pro Tools, and I had learned how to record, I learned how to mix, et cetera, et cetera. And so my way of pushing the envelope then was like leaning into more production techniques and thinking about a song through that way. So that's kind of just to speak to a little bit how our writing process has evolved over the years.
I'm going to ask Sapphire a question so you can look that up so it doesn't bother you anymore. So Sapphire, how do the songs on the album, the recorded versions, compare to the live versions? Because there's a lot of layering and multi-tracking and all. Do the songs sound any different live compared to the recorded versions?
I would say a lot of that just comes down to mixing. We didn't add like a million guitar parts. I know that sometimes it sounds lush, but
yeah,
believe it or not, a lot of the times it's really still just two guitars.
Wow.
Pull off most of it live. The ones that were more produced, like Margaret, those, you know, those are a little trickier, but there's stuff that we tried to like incorporate, like all the reversed kind of affected stuff, that stuff at the end when it's kind of like a swell of noise and sound and stuff. And Margaret, Anna made that, you know, that was like something that they had intentionally crafted and like took all of the pieces that we recorded, reversed them, sent them through a tape delay in the studio, and then took it home and built it out in a really cool way. So that stuff is a little bit harder to recreate. You know, the in-house production stuff is a little harder to manufacture live, but most of these songs we wrote together in a room and are raw enough to play. I'd say maybe Give It is an example of one that's just like very live sounding and sounds really similar.
Why don't you just give it a chance?
Comes down to mixing.
The video for Give It almost made me cry because I have like 3,000 CDs, and so when I saw all the CDs getting smashed, I said, oh, there goes my collection.
Were all blank CDs.
But you guys saved them at the end. It was beautiful. How is the band comprised now? Is Rosie still working with you guys, or are you a trio at this point?
We're a trio right now. Okay. Rosie left the band some time ago, but we're a trio right now and enjoying it.
So, Anna, you played bass in the studio. Was that something you're familiar with?
Yeah, I mean, back to my like weird ensemble in high school, I played a lot of bass, so okay. I'm familiar with the bass. It was fun to learn the bass parts. I mean, after recording that record, I was like, oh, I enjoy playing bass. I bought a new bass recently, so
Are you going to be doing that live, or are you going to be adding somebody on bass duty?
No, we have someone on bass duty.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. All right, so it's not a permanent change. How many songs did you guys have prepared in the studio? I mean, there's 10 tracks on the album, right? Yeah, 10.
We have exactly 10 songs.
That no more, no
there's
less.
Maybe like, well, there's maybe less. Like, we have some others that maybe were in the rotation at one point or maybe half done that didn't make the cut. But we kind of went in there, 10 songs prepared that were done, and we recorded those 10 songs and they all made it onto the record. So we were very exacting in that we like don't really waste a second in that.
Also sounds like you guys put a lot of effort into writing,
mm-hmm.
making sure it's exactly what you want.
Yeah,
a lot of time, a lot of years in the making.
it's like not uncommon for us to like have a part or like even a measure or like a hit in a measure and to just like talk about it for like 45 minutes. Like nothing goes unscrutinized. It's kind of a pain in the butt.
Did you guys do a lot of experimenting really in the studio? With like different instruments?
We did some. Not a ton, because we took a really long time dialing in tones when we were doing our stuff, and like we'd change up drum kits and stuff like that. So that stuff was very time consuming and we started to run out of time. Fortunately, our label was gracious enough to give us a few more days in the studio. And on the last day, we basically had like a half day where everything was done and we just messed around with what was in the studio. We tried some synths, we tried some other stuff, but honestly, everything was already pretty dense. It kind of didn't need the extra bits. And I feel like if you do that stuff, you can't, I don't know. I've always found it can't be forced. It has to like be in the moment, like, oh, I'm just going to hit this triangle and it works or it doesn't. But if you're like trying to cram in a bunch of clever things, you know, in like a 3 to 4 hour period, it's not as maybe natural.
Right.
I think.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
The other angle I think is worth mentioning is that like, we put so much time and thought and effort into our parts and we all kind of had in our head how we like wanted to hear them. So we spent like Sapphire said, all our time, like baking into the session originally, like, you know, this is exactly how we want this to sound tone wise. And so when we like kind of had an idea, a lot of the times I feel like it just like couldn't hold its own against like the ideas and the parts and the sounds that we had already thought through. And so it was like, as much when you get into the studio, you kind of want to touch everything. You want to see what it sounds like. And I feel like every time we did that, it often like wasn't fruitful because it was just like everything else was like so matured. It just like didn't make sense to like sprinkle all this stuff in just because it was fun. At least that was kind of my experience, especially with a lot of the synths we tried to add. At the end of the day, I feel like we kind of had to admit like we don't play the piano.
You guys aren't a synth band.
It like didn't make sense to add like a synth pad just because there was a Juno. Right. You know, like because our guitar parts and our drum parts were so like inspired, it just was so obvious that we were like noobs to the synthesizers. It was honestly, I think there were a lot of songs where like we would add a pad and then like later we just like,
yeah,
kill it out.
Yeah. That's another thing. The drumming is just incredible on it. The musicianship on the whole album is just amazing. It's so great. Are you guys going to be touring in the new year?
We don't have any plans to tour right now. We tend to like, you know, take things organically. So I think we put a lot of time and energy into the record, you know, this past year and a half. And
yeah,
we've kind of turned our attention to like the other projects that we have. But like, you know, we never say never. Whatever happens organically, I think we're just kind of waiting to see like what feels right for us.
Well, maybe we can get you out to the 9:30 Club or Black Cat or something.
That would be so fun.
Well, how can people pick up the album and follow you guys on social media to keep track of you?
You can stream us wherever you stream music. Yeah, stream us wherever you stream music. We have a record. We just got the vinyl, so you can order that on fatbeats.com is our distributor. So you can get the vinyl through Fatbeats. If you really want a CD, we have some. You would have to like hit us up on email or DM us, but I'm more than happy to mail those to whoever wants one.
Our I might be hitting you up for that.
Great. But yeah, we have, our music is accessible on the internet if you look it up. And if you want a vinyl, you can make an order for that. They're beautiful.
How can people follow you? What are the social media accounts?
Just get us on the Instagram.
Yeah. Instagram is kind of the only one that we do now. We do have randomly a lot of, or more Facebook followers, but that's not use Facebook anymore.
Yeah, that's for old people.
You can find us on Instagram at gypsum_. So GYPSUM and then _. Y'all, you'll see pictures of us on there. Goofy stuff. Actually, I'll show you this. I was just looking at it to make sure that I remembered the handle. My boyfriend made this, which I think is
Oh, man.
Cool.
Oh, I love that. That is like so the cool. best thing I've ever seen. Yeah. That is like old music.
I love it. That is awesome.
Yeah. That's, so he made that for fun.
That is awesome. And I'm
wait, before we go, yeah. I have to say that the poem is called Spring and Fall by Gerard Manley Hopkins.
Oh, hey, oh, we got it in. Excellent. Well, guys, I thank you so much for spending this time with me. It's been a blast. I seriously, it's one of my favorite albums so far. I know we're kind of early into 2022, but it's seriously one of the best things I've heard so far this year. And I can foresee it going through the rest of the year that way. So I'm in love with the
thank
album.
Thank you. And thank you for the great conversation. This was a great, thing.
This was all interview.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frunino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.